It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy. Hello, hello. Welcome, welcome, one and all. It is April 13th. 2023, and it is, well, let's look at the time here. Why, it's 1904 UTC, so you have made it to the show in time for plenty of news, death, destruction, marmots. Marmots are the provenance of the Dubious Goals Committee, the show that airs every goddamn day at 1930 UTC, but you are here for news, so it's time to talk news. We got lots of stuff going on. That's a motorcycle driving by. We are in the garage. We're not quite to the roof. I'm trying to walk more, so I'm walking around. I'm on the fourth floor. And I'll walk up to the fifth floor here in a moment, which will be the roof. Shout out to everyone in comm. Quentin, X1, Jeff, Bob, Jonathan, Publius is here. LCD. Tobe's around. He's checking his mail real quick. But lots of people are hanging out. And it's a lot of fun. So definitely check out Anon Radio Room in comm. SSH over. And then just type comm when you log in. Then G for go to, and then Anon Radio, all lowercase, all one word. So as I'm walking around, I look down, and in the little wooded area that we've got at work, there is a tree in a box. Like, it's a big full-grown tree, but it has a giant crate around it. So I'm assuming someone's shipping or has received a tree, which is kind of weird. And then they also have a large collection, probably 24 cactuses, like barrel cactuses, also in pots. So, must be spring, growing spring. Yep, that was a motorcycle, Quentin. But yeah, we're up here in the roof area. We had a good show yesterday. Not a whole lot of craziness going on in the Death and Destruction apartment. But we did have a good time with Tobe and his time machine. Anyway, enough about that. Let's talk about the news. We got lots of news to talk about.
Four critically wounded patients needing treatment. Another worker said around 20 health workers and 6 ambulances had tried to reach the wounded. They told us we couldn't go to Tagoga. We stayed more than 1 hour at the checkpoint trying to negotiate. We had a letter from the health bureau. We showed them, but they said it was an order. Military spokesman Getnet denied that the military was blocking ambulances. So, this is something I'm glad that the word was able to get out, because this is one of those tragic attacks of the military on its civilians that normally doesn't escape. It's very sad and really awful.
Accidentally click the dictate button. That causes all sorts of havoc. It takes away the focus for the microphone, so that... in turn, stops the broadcast, and then it also deregisters my Bluetooth from the app, so then I have to reconnect it. So anyway, we're back. So let's talk about news. We got a lot going on in the world today. So all we got to do is launch our bookmarks, go over here to our desktop bookmarks, and look in that bookmarks menu for news to me on April the 13th. Oh, we better click on sync. I'm going to sync because we're not sunk yet. I'm going to go over to settings. Get sync now. Oh, it's not doing anything. Sync now. Trying. Settings. Sync now. Now we're syncing. It last sank yesterday at 7 p.m., so that's why we didn't have our news. Sorry. Like I said, doing stuff from mobile is fun and challenging, sometimes causes us grief. All right, let's see if we got our bookmarks. Oop, bookmarks, desktop, bookmarks, news to me. Hey, now we got bookmarks. So the first story is a little traumatic. So if you are nervous or sensitive at all to stories about sexual assault or violence against women, you might want to duck out for about 5 minutes or so, because this story is pretty heavy. All right, here we go. Dozens raped as migrant workers deported from Angola to DR Congo. Women and children have been raped and subjected to other abuses during a mass expulsion of migrant workers from Angola to the Democratic Republic of the Congo, a doctor, officials, and the United Nations say. Angola has deported thousands of workers in recent months, according to UN figures, echoing previous purges over the past 12 years, during which abuses also occurred. The size of the latest expulsion is not yet known, but 12,000 workers have passed through one border crossing near the town of Kamako in the past 6 months. Last month, UN staff visited the area and wrote an internal preliminary report on the situation. Girls and women are arrested wherever they are without the necessary needs, detained and then separated from their children and husbands, subjected to inhumane and degrading treatment, sometimes raped. The report, which is yet to be published, did not explicitly identify the perpetrators. A doctor working in the area blamed civilians in the DRC and Angolan security forces. A spokesman for Angola's Migration Authority said there had been an increase in expulsions in the past few weeks, but denied that rapes and other abuses had occurred. "That's not true," he said. "I can guarantee that there isn't an institutional attitude promoting violence against migrants." The UN did not say how many cases of abuse there were, but Victor Makobi, a doctor who specialized in treatment of victims of sexual violence at a health clinic in Kamako, said local clinics had recorded 122 cases this year, unprecedented levels for the town. "These are women or girls expelled from Angola, some of them under 10 years old, without any means of subsistence, and very vulnerable to this type of violence," he said. Instances of gang rape have caused medical complications, he said. Based on accounts from patients treated at his health center, he estimates that at least 14 rapes were committed by Angolan security forces. Dozens of others were committed by civilians. A DRC immigration official who spoke to Reuters on the condition of anonymity said that in meetings, officials had talked about dozens of rapes on both sides of the border. Angola's diamond-rich Lunda Norte region has long attracted thousands of migrant workers from the DRC's isolated poor south. Many come and work illegally. Kamako has been an open-air migrant camp, the head of the UN's mission in the DRC told journalists. So, just really horrifying stuff. Absolutely just horrifying and terrifying kind of behavior and activity going on. Stinking news. no death. Oh, Quentin pointing out, this isn't necessarily new news, more like the standard. Yeah, it's just very troubling. It's, you know, rape and assault happens frequently all over the world in all the different, every country, really. But this is just on such a large scale that it's alarming. So it's one of those things to let people know about, to be aware of, and to kind of make sure people, they don't get away with it, you know? Here's the death. In Darfur, at least 24 people are dead. The Sudanese government has announced that it will take the first step towards the creation... Oh, wait. Did I click the wrong story? Nope. Here it is. The Sudanese government has announced it will take the first steps towards the creation of a new state in the country's western region of Darfur, which is bordered by Chad and the Central African Republic, by the end of the year. "There have been 24 deaths since Saturday on both sides," said Mohammed Hussein Tamim, a member of the local council of Foro Baranga, a town in West Darfur State. So, by Monday evening, local authorities declared a nightly curfew and a state of emergency for 1 month throughout the state. Calm has since returned, but many security forces are still deployed. The UN has reported about 50 houses burned down and about 4,000 families or 20,000 people displaced. Darfur is often the scene of tribal violence, among other things, caused by territorial disputes and difficulties in accessing water. Yeah. A 2003 civil war between the regime of Omar al-Bashir, which falls in 2019, and insurgents from ethnic minorities, left an estimated 300,000 people dead and nearly 2.5 million people displaced, according to the UN. So, just sadness. Humans, by and large, are awful. Yeah. What is the deal with people? Yeah, exactly. Territorial disputes all over the place. Let's try and find some uplifting news. Can we find it? Probably not. You might remember Alexei Navalny, a Russian guy who's speaking out about Putin, put in jail, poisoned with all sorts of cool chemicals. Well, Alexei Navalny, Russia's most prominent opposition politician, is suffering from a mysterious ailment in jail and has lost 8 kilograms in a little more than 2 weeks, his spokeswoman has said. Oh, there's birds in here. I was like, I'm hearing something. It's birds. There are birds in the belfry. An ambulance is called for Navalny overnight on Friday into Saturday at the maximum security IK6 penal colony at Malekovo, about 250 kilometers east of Moscow. Kira Yamish, his spokeswoman, said in a video clip on Twitter that an unknown stomach complaint had flared up on Friday, and prison doctors had treated him in the past by injecting him with medicine that they had refused to identify. We do not rule out that at this very time, Alexei Navalny is being slowly poisoned, being killed so slowly that it attracts less attention. He's being held in a punishment cell with acute pain and without medical help. When asked about a potential poisoning, the Kremlin said it was not following the state of his health, which was a matter of the penitentiary service. Let's see. The German government said on Wednesday that it was worried about Navalny's worsening health, and a video documentary about Navalny won an Oscar last month. He's been in and out of isolation in a tiny cell, but is allowed to write letters, and his lawyers may visit occasionally. So, yep. Yeah, Quentin points out, you better avoid windows, too. I think this bird is sounding so urgent because it's lost. It's in this very echoey garage, and if it's trying to find its way out, it's not going to do so well just because of the dynamics, the acoustics. All right, well, let's talk about news that's not as depressing. Let's talk about science and other stuff. Oh, well, speaking of science, then, let's talk about COVID-19. What? Yeah, it is not 2019, but we're talking about COVID-19 because of a new variant called Arcturus. India has been hit by a surge of COVID-19 cases driven by a new subvariant known as Arcturus. The World Health Organization said it is monitoring the Omicron subvariant XBB.1.16 strain, which is also found in over 20 countries. So here's what we know about XBB.1.16. Arcturus is its name. It was detected in late January and is a recombinant variant of BA.2.10.1 and BA.2.75, the two descendants of Omicron. Who said the subvariant has one additional mutation in the spike protein, which in lab studies showed increased infectivity as well as a potential increase in pathogenicity? Arcturus is nearly 1.2 times as transmissible as XBB.1.5, according to a study at Tokyo, University of Tokyo. However, the subvariant is not thought to be more severe than XBB.1.5, reported by British news outlet iNews. So, it's just another variant of concern. On Wednesday, there were 40,215 active cases in India, up by 3,122 cases in just one day, according to the country's Ministry of Health and Welfare. The new wave has prompted at least two states to reintroduce mask wearing in public places as cases in India surge to its highest weekly number in 7 months. So COVID is still real and it's still causing trouble. Pretty amazing. Publius and Quentin wondering, when did we run out of Greek letters and just switch to video game character names? I think now that the world's not watching so much, we've changed tactics. All right, now it's time for tech. There's There might be some sadness in here, but let's get the tech stories out. First, this is kind of sad if you like animals. Let's see. The fate of 24 Sussex Drive, the home to the country's Canada's prime minister for more than 70 years, is up in the air after it was allowed to fall into uninhabitable disrepair. The list of problems would turn away even the most ambitious buyer looking for a fixer-upper. The home that's welcomed the world's elite from JFK to Princess Di and Mikhail Gorbachev now is empty, a fire trap rife with asbestos, lead, and mold, aging wiring, and rusted water pipes. The last major renovations to the one-time lumber baron's mansion, built in 1868, was in 1951. The latest concern is an important rodent infestation that leaves us with excrements and carcasses between the walls and in attic and basement spaces, according to the National Capital Commission. The disrepair has gotten so dire that NCC, who manages the repairs, was worried 1,500 people at a recent garden party on the grounds might have gone rushing into this uninhabitable building to seek shelter during a tornado. It's got to be stripped down to the studs. The house has sat vacant since 2015. The 34-room, 12,000-square-foot residence was once Justin Trudeau's childhood home. He lived there when his father was prime minister, but he decided he would rather move his family to a government-owned two-story Georgian Revival brick heritage building about a kilometer away. so, yeah. So, anyway, lots of dead rats. Lots of rats all over the place. But the headline, I thought it was going to be more about the Trudeau's house being full of rats, not that his abandoned house is full of rats. Blech. So let's talk about swamp rats. Swamp rats, yes, swamp rats with bright orange teeth. What? That's right. In March, Louisiana officials announced a deal to free an unlikely folk hero and fugitive, Nudie the Swamp Rat. His fellow species members may not be so lucky. In 2020, New Orleans couple Mira and Denny Lacoste found the pint-sized specimen on the side of the road after his mother and siblings had been killed by a vehicle. So the family decided to take in the cuddly nutria, a species of semi-aquatic mammal native to South America, known for its bright orange teeth. Nudie swam in the Lacoste family pool, rode around town in their truck, even greeted customers at the Lacoste seafood store, until the mammal, which grew to be 22 pounds, attracted the attention of the media, then local officials. The State Department of Wildlife and Fisheries initially planned to confiscate the critter and locate Nudie to the Baton Rouge Zoo, though the DWF eventually settled last month for a deal where the Lacoste family would give the nutria regularly veterinary checkups and keep him caged while at the seafood shop. Nudie may have come out unscathed, but things look a little different for a swampy brother nutria, which can consume up to a quarter of their body weight in plant material a day, and are subject of a nationwide culling effort to stop the swamp rats from eroding wetlands and damaging crops. Now, if you like killing things, they have you can join just a nutria hunting team, basically, and just cruise around on swamp boats killing nutria. The state of Maryland spent more than two decades and $30 million to eliminate the nutria using a technique dubbed Rolling Thunder to systematically move across 500,000 acres of marshland and kill roughly 14,000 of them, sometimes using radio-tagged nutria to lead game officials to burrows. Invasive species was declared gone in 2022, so not that long ago. Yep, Publius, you're right. Yeah, Quentin knows what's up. Yeah, there is a nutria are an invasive species, but they are a giant rodent, which is similar to the cutie or other cute animals that we do like. So, well, if we can't keep the nutria, what can we keep? What do we get? What's the upswing? Well, let's see. What can we do? What's our winning? What do we get? What's a positive thing? Nothing positive. The JUICE, you remember yesterday we were talking about the JUICE program for the European Space Agency? Well, I almost got run over. I'm up here just wandering around. I didn't expect anybody to be on this floor. And, Yeah, there's some cars up here. I didn't realize people went home this early, though. Anyway, weather conditions showed there's a risk of lightning to the mission that aims to establish if the moons could sustain life, so it's been called off until tomorrow. It's going to take the 8-year journey from Earth to reach Jupiter's major moons is one of the most ambitious missions ever. So they're not going to take any risks. So anyway, I just wanted to give you the heads up. There was a delay with juice. What else is there? Some nuclear news. Hungary and Russia amend the PAC's 2 nuclear project agreement. Hungary's foreign minister, Peter Szijjártó, and Rosatom's CEO, Alexei Lykachev, have agreed on amendments to the construction and financing agreements for the PAC's 2 nuclear power plant. Hungary has said it intends to press ahead with its plans for a new Russian-built nuclear power plant at PAC's 2, despite the war with Ukraine and the EU imposition of a range of sanctions. Writing on Facebook, Szijjártó said that the EU had recognized that there was no energy security and there's no European green transition without nuclear energy. We have to push for PAC's 2 to be built as soon as possible despite all the difficulties, because the sooner the new blocks are built, the sooner we'll be protected from the completely insane price movements of the international energy market. So, it looks like a positive thing, or like we're going to be moving towards nuclear. Russia is going to make some money off the deal, but those are the breaks, you know? Russia is a huge player in the nuclear space, so we kind of got to just go with it. In space, Space Systems Command's Tetra 1 has begun missions operations. Millennium Space Systems announced the handoff April 13th of the Tetra 1 small satellite to the U.S. Space Force Space Systems Command for the start of mission operations. The experimental satellite, designed to perform a variety of missions, launched in November on a SpaceX Falcon Heavy rocket. Since then, all satellite components and subsystems have been checked out in high geostationary orbit, called SuperGeo. Tetra 1 has helped us learn about small satellites' potential to operate in SuperGeo, Captain Giancarlo Vasquez, SSC's Tetra 1 Deputy Program Manager, said in a statement. Due to Tetra 1's maneuverability, it's enabled us to experiment and train with various tactics, techniques, and procedures, thus allowing our program office and operators to identify what roles small satellites can play in future USSF, I guess this is Space Force missions. Furthermore, Tetra 1's robustness permitted SSC to work with Space Delta 11 in Space Training and Readiness Command and perform maneuvers dedicated solely to live on-orbit training campaign known as Scarlet Star. Let's see what we got here. Yeah, the juice was not let loose. The plume of hot gases does conduct electricity. If France doesn't want Hungary to buy Russian nuclear, it can offer an alternative with good price and financing. Good idea, Publius. Yeah, if the United States and France would just, share the wealth, so to speak, the world would be in a better nuclear position for sure. Oh. And other space news, Kepler Communications has raised $92 million for an optical data relay network. I thought this was really cool because it's an optical relay network in space. That's right. Canadian small satellite operator Kepler Communications said April 13th it has raised $92 million to start deploying an optical data relay constellation next year. So the company currently operates 19 satellites in sun-synchronous orbits that provide low data rate connectivity for devices out of range of terrestrial networks. 2 more are on board a D-orbit orbital transfer vehicle awaiting a Falcon 9 ride share launch SpaceX is scheduled for the 14th. Hey, that's tomorrow. Most of the satellites in this constellation are the size of 6 CubeSats. The standard form factor can measure 10 centimeters on each side. Satellites for the company's data relay network will be an order of magnitude bigger and weigh over 100 kilograms, Kepler CEO Mina Mitri told Space News, and be placed along 2 near-orthogonal planes. According to Kepler, the data relay network would provide real-time connectivity. Oh, that's a little Porsche. Drove by. According to Kepler, the relay network will provide real-time connectivity for LEO satellites that can currently only relay information when passing over approved ground stations. Mitry said the network would adhere to optical communication standards developed by the Space Development Agency and used SDA-compatible optical user terminals. The operator plans to launch prototype satellites for the data relay network. Oh, the wind's picked up. So anyway, very kind of neat stuff there. I'm sorry that it was kind of not that exciting. There wasn't a whole lot of death or destruction. But it is almost time for the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe, a fun show that airs every goddamn day at 1930 UTC right here on Anon Radio. It being Thursday, that means there's a lot of shows going on. All you got to do is press the equal sign in com to see what's happening, including Flux from DJ Stug after the Dubious Goals Committee and Myocyte at 0100 from FFOG. So these are all fun shows. Of course, there's always other fun things you can listen to if you're so inclined. And get this, if you stay up late enough, the Dubious Goals Committee airs again. I didn't know that, but it happens. So sometimes, I guess. I think it's only early morning. I think it's like 07. Yeah, 0730 is when it'll air again, which is kind of cool. Anyway, stick around, and I'll be back tomorrow with episode, I believe it'll be episode 665. Hey, Buns, Flippy, Flipper 88, and others.